Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. Fraud and identity theft can happen to anyone, really. That is why it is so important to take the necessary steps to protect your information before any harm can be done to you, your personal finances, or your credit score. Julie Kuzmic is Equifax Canada's Senior Compliance Officer for Consumer Advocacy, and she's here now to talk about some of the ways that you can reduce the risk of fraud and what to do if it has already got you. Hello there, Julie.
Hello, Bruce.
The criminals are getting more creative. I had someone call to say they had rented my house on Airbnb and wanted to know how to get the keys.
They had paid
a fraudster thousands of dollars and were not so pleased that I actually live in my house and they weren't so welcome to stay. So it is very, very common. What are the key, types, kinds of theft, identity theft that people need to be aware of these days?
Well, first of all, I have to congratulate you on your house being listed on Airbnb without your knowledge. And I suspect that it commands a pretty penny if people know that it's associated with you. So there's a compliment embedded in there somewhere. So thank you, fraudster. Okay, so the important question you're asking about identity fraud, you know,
examples, like what should we be, there seems like there's a million examples.
Here's something that a lot of people don't necessarily think of as a potential effect of something like losing your wallet. So let's say that you get home from your grocery visit, and after you take your mask off, you realize that you don't have your wallet with you. So maybe it got stolen, maybe you forgot it in the grocery cart, who knows, but for whatever reason, you don't have it anymore. The first thing most people are going to think of is, well, I got to cancel my credit cards because those people have access to them if someone else is holding my wallet right now. And that's absolutely true. You definitely want to cancel your credit cards. But the next thing that most people will start thinking about is, like, now I got to replace my driver's license and whatever else was in there. And true, you definitely do need to replace that. But the piece that a lot of people don't necessarily think through is that if somebody has your driver's license and potentially quite a lot of other information about you, depending on what else was in your wallet, they might be able to impersonate you and apply for credit in your name. And let's say that they are successful doing that. They apply for credit. So your credit file gets checked after they give your consent to check your credit file, and they get approved, or you actually get approved for the credit. Maybe they manage to convince the lender that, by the way, the address on my driver's license is wrong. I've just moved and I don't have the updated one yet. So here's my actual new address. And so they manage to get any evidence of this new account open. Maybe it's a new credit card, maybe it's a car loan. It's getting mailed to somewhere else. It's not landing at your home. So how are you ever going to know that this account was even opened in your name? And what often then goes on to happen is they'll, if it's, say, a new credit card, they'll actually use the card and build up a decent history on the card for a few months. So they'll pay it off every month so they can get the credit limit increased on the card and ultimately get to a point where they can put one or more big ticket purchases on there and then disappear. And the point where you find out that any of this has happened is a few months later, when collections agencies find you at your actual address and start asking why you're not paying the bills on this particular card.
To a card you didn't know you have and on spending you never knew about. What is the recourse? I mean, obviously, I don't know, you call the police, but you work for a credit bureau. Surely there's a call to you. Do you put your home phone number on the internet, Julie, so we can call you directly?
I've decided to stop doing that because the results haven't been fantastic for me personally or my family. Yeah. So what do you do if you've lost your wallet? You can call Equifax and TransUnion, the two major credit bureaus in Canada. You can put an identity alert on your credit report for free. And all that is doing, you provide your cell phone number. And what that does is put an indicator on your credit report that anytime it gets pulled by any lender for processing an application for credit, they have to call you at that number and verify that this is actually you. So hopefully when that happens, you're maybe standing in the store across from the person making the call being like, yep, hi, here I am talking on my cell phone to you. Right. It's me, I'm applying.
Right.
But it also gives you that opportunity to catch it if you're sitting at home in your living room and you get that call and you weren't applying for credit. So it gives you the opportunity to say, no, don't process that. It's not me. So that's it's something that everyone can do for free. There's no cost. There is a fraud version of that alert, which is called a fraud warning. And that is free also, but you don't have to have been a victim of any type of fraud in order to put this identity alert on your credit report.
Why wouldn't that become standard practice? Why wouldn't everyone just have that on there?
By law, we can only make changes to people's credit reports when they ask us to. So that would be us stepping in and deciding for somebody how their credit history should be treated. And that's something that as a registered credit bureau, we're not authorized to do. So we can only put that alert on when we're asked to do so by the person who belongs to the credit report.
So if this crummy circumstance happened to you, how long does it take for the impact of that credit score hit to be removed? Because I hear these anecdotal things and I don't know if they're statistically sound, like everybody has this challenge, but I do hear from a lot of people who say this happened to me and I'm still dealing with it 2 years later.
You know, so much of that depends on what actually happened. So who was the lender? Was it a big bank? Was it a credit card issuer? And what is their process for handling the fraud? So that is completely dependent on their policy, their fraud management team. They maybe require you to have a police report to show that you have reported what has happened. So that can be a big part of getting through all the process in order to then have the lender tell the credit bureaus, okay, we see this as fraud, please remove it from the credit report. And I understand it can be such a difficult and painful process for people to go through when they already had this painful process of finding out that they are a victim of fraud. But on the other hand, all of the parts, the moving parts of the credit ecosystem need to be able to protect themselves from another type of fraud, which is people trying to get out of paying their debts by saying it wasn't me.
Right.
My card was stolen. They're the ones who bought that beautiful new dishwasher and fridge, not me.
Right. And don't come over to my house. You mentioned the collection agency and that being the indicator. In a dream world of rainbows and butterflies, we would all be attuned to our credit report to say, huh, I didn't apply to that. I didn't apply for that card. What's going on? And cancel it before any more difficulties emerge. If you were giving your advice, and I'm asking you to give your advice on how we as Canadians should engage with our credit report, how should we access it and with what frequency should we monitor it?
So anybody in Canada can access their Equifax credit report and an Equifax credit score online for free. So that is something that anyone in any province has the ability to do without paying for it. And That's a great way of keeping an eye on what is appearing on your credit report and making sure that everything on there is something you recognize. So what's the ideal frequency to do that? The advice used to be at least once a year, that that would be a good idea. Now, I mean, there of course are people who check their credit report every day. There's always the folks who are really eager about keeping an eye on things. I'd probably go somewhere in the middle. I mean, if you were looking every month, every couple of months, every few months, any of those frequencies are a good opportunity to find something and be able to do something about it, especially to prevent, and this is such a heartbreaking situation, Bruce, that we come across time after time, is where somebody is about to close on a house and their mortgage broker or lender says, well, wait a minute, there's something kind of sketchy on your credit report.
Right.
It can be an error. Sometimes if you have a similar name and a similar address to someone else, there could be their item in collections that landed on your credit report by mistake. And these things can get cleared up. You can do it for free. There are processes in place to clean it all up. But who needs that stress on top of trying to get that mortgage done or trying to finalize that car loan because your car just broke down and you need to get to work on Monday? And you find out then that there's a problem. So that's another reason to just do it. Even if you're scared of what you're going to see, even if you know there's some late payments on there, you're worried about it. That's the situation, whether you look at the credit report or not. It's a little bit like convincing yourself to stand on the scale. You know, like the number is what the number is, the whether number I is, look at it or not.
That's why I step on the scale every single day. It's like how you get used to spiders and learn to hold them in your hand. Julie, thank you for your insight. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your very helpful tips on both minimizing the risk of fraud, but also what to do if it happens to you. Have a good day.
Always, always a pleasure, Bruce. Great to talk to you.
Julie Kuzmic, Equifax Canada's Senior Compliance Officer for Consumer Advocacy.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.